Welcome, welcome. Happy to have you. My name is Sarah. I am your puppy coach, and I will turn it over to you guys. Questions, concerns, what's going on with your puppies?
I have hopefully an easy one to start off with. This is a general question about language and commands and praise. And I notice one of the things you do is you say, you know, good sit or good stay. And I'm synthesizing information from different sources. And I had really liked that approach because it incorporates a sense of, you know, what I'm praising you for, what I'm rewarding you for to the dog. Another coach I work with suggested that I not do that because it might dilute the cue. Can you help me understand why you use it and how it works for you, and help me better understand how it works?
Okay, so there are, Caroline, you're so good with noticing details. So there are specific times in some of the videos that I've posted on Facebook when I'm doing training or working on a behavior. There are specific times, and it's a conscious choice on my part when I am reminding a dog. So if I'm just doing a general training session, I'm not going to repeat that command because the other trainer is correct that if we are just kind of mindlessly talking and repeating commands, we are devaluing any of our language. When I am specifically choosing to, like I've asked for a sit and the dog does it, and then I'm praising them, good sit, nice. Those are conscious choices on my part because it's probably something that the dog was having problems with and that we're actively working on. But if it's something that is fairly mundane, the dog knows really well, then I'm just going to say, you know, click with the clicker or my marker word. If I'm going to give a treat, if I'm not going to deliver a treat, and I'm starting to do that intermittent reinforcement with treats, which we all do definitely need to do earlier than we think we do, then I'm just going to give other verbal praise. So then it would just be excellent. What a good dog. You're my man. Smart puppy. I'm not going to repeat it. So does that make a little bit more sense?
Yes, that really helps me out. And I had liked the approach. I was incorporating it probably unconsciously and more than was needed. So thank you for helping me understand that.
Yeah. And I will be more mindful too, because I can see how that would be confusing. So I will try to be more mindful of what I'm saying during videos as well. Because honestly, that is human nature that a lot of us tend to do in our training. We do this way too much with our dogs when we're training. And it is, it ends up being like Charlie Brown, where the parents are on the phone, wah, 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 right? They start to ignore that. And even interestingly, if you really want your dog's attention, you can try this, that if you whisper, they tend to perk up, right? Have you found that, Caroline?
Yes. And also my father-in-law, who was a disciplinarian, and the friends in the neighborhood were so afraid of him, never raised his voice, only ever whispered. And that's when they were the most terrified. So not that we're striking fear in the hearts of our dogs, but they will, you know, listen up. It certainly perks up the ear when someone is, you know, whispering and you're, you know, you have to attend to hear. So that's an excellent point.
Excellent. Yeah, that's completely right on. I will see this most often during agility competitions. If the dog is headed off to the wrong obstacle, the handler, you know, adrenaline's up, the handler owner will start to say, you know, Fido, here, 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 here. But most often the better results are when the handler just stops and they get very quiet and they just say, Fido. Yeah. And the dog's like, what? Wait, I'm going to miss out on something.
That's right? Amazing. I will try that. That sounds really cool.
I just whispered. And I've got two dogs that are like, what's going on? Okay, great question. What else is going on?
Hey, Sarah. Emily again. I can't get my camera to work. Sorry, everybody. But a little bit of an extension from last time. And mostly it's we have the crate hooked into the kennel area so that we can lock her in. And I think that idea of if she's barking in her X pen, then putting her in her crate, closing the door, you know, covering it up. She's quiet. She gets out. She gets a little bit more. That worked really well the other day. But if she's in her X pen, or her crate, and I leave the room, all heck breaks loose. Or if I'm even just on the other side of the kitchen counter, she's just curious and curious and curious. What are you doing over there? I'm missing out on something. And I'm just, you know, trying to figure out what level of stress she can handle with me out of the room, because clearly I haven't been able to leave when my husband's home. I leave and they have a little bit harder time. You know, she looks for me the whole time. And, you know, of course we want to try and get that taken care of so that she's not only looking for me, she's, you know, likes him as much as she likes me. I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, just to be able to leave, cause he's gone right now. So she literally has to come with me everywhere, which is fine. But you know, we have to pick up the groceries. Thankfully with COVID, we can do these things. But you know, if there's other things that need to happen, she's got to come. So what are the tricks? Long story short, how can I help her calm down when I leave the room? Let's start with that.
Okay. So this is one of those situations where we kind of emailed about where you've with our puppies that are not yet crate trained completely, that you've got real life and you've got your training sessions. And so real life happens where you do need to go to the grocery store, where you do have to be out of sight. And in those situations is where you just kind of have to, they're going to just anticipate that they're probably going to make some noise because they're not yet crate trained. Right. And that's okay. But then in your structured training sessions that you want to do for crate training several times a day, 2-3 times a day, even if you're working on this for 3 minutes, 3 minute training session, 3 times a day, all of us can fit that in, right? Okay. Hush. But that is where you are going to be working on the out of sight portion of your crate training and just stepping that up. And I'm trying to remember where, which exact step that is. I might do a screen share here with you guys to find that. But basically that is I think it's step 3 or 4 in crate training. And so that is when you have gotten to the point where puppy is happily going into their crate during your structured training sessions, and they're being fairly confident you're not constantly raining treats into the crate without needing to put the sheet down, our beloved shut up sheet, or doing any earthquakes during your structured training sessions. The out of sight portion is, I'm trying to remember, there is a video that I put on the Facebook page where you're actively going to be working on the out of sight portion. And so initially that means you put puppy in the crate, you tell them go kennel, go crate, whatever your keyword is. You drop some treats in there so that they are going to be happily busy snuffling around, eating treats in their crate for 30 seconds amount of time. You close the door, the crate door, and you walk around the corner or out of the room for literally your first couple attempts are going to be like maybe 5 seconds. That's it. You return back to the room before puppy is done eating treats, before they start to make any fussing. And you drop more treats in, and then you repeat it. Go out of the room, come back in, rain more treats in. So that way they are learning that they get treats while you are gone. So they're still busy eating those treats independent of you being in their presence. That's the important part. And that you're coming back before they start to get fussy and worried that they're getting left out of things. And gradually you're just going to extend that amount of time that you are out of sight. And the module, I think, briefly touches on it, where it says you're going to ping pong the duration. When we are working on time duration, you want to ping pong. And what we mean by that is that you aren't going to have these sessions be 5 seconds of you out of the room, then 7 seconds, then 10 seconds, then 15 seconds, because eventually you are going to get to a point where the dog fails. And we never want to set our puppies up for failure in any training session. So ping ponging would mean that you walk out of the room for 5 seconds. Good. Come back, treat, treat, treat. Then you walk out of the room for 2 seconds. Then you walk out of the room for 10, then 7, then 15. So that you're always keeping the dog kind of guessing, but you're not making the time duration just completely compounding. If that makes sense. I always have a hard time explaining ping ponging.
No, that makes great sense. This is okay. Really good. So we'll keep doing that. So she does like her crate and going in there, but obviously again, being in there without me or without us, you know, without being around is the hard part. So we'll give this a try, and that's good. So with you, one compounding question, if you increase the time, and she's, you know, still trying to find her treats, but then she runs out of treats and I'm still out of the room, but come back while she's sort of still calm, not crying yet or anything. There's got to be a time that she's going to run out of treats, right?
Yep. And that is okay, because, your first couple attempts with this, you don't want her to run out of treats.
Right. Okay.
Right. Because this is a new project for her, and she likely, the second she runs out of treats, will start crying, will start whining. So Your first couple attempts, you want to make sure she's got lots of treats that she's going to keep looking around in her crate for and to keep her busy. But as we work on the duration, there is going to be a time where they are out of treats. And that's the whole point, right? So that they're still being quiet and calm and confident with being alone, even though they don't have food in their face. Okay. And so that's eventually our goal, that when you go grocery shopping or when you go someplace, she's not going to be eating treats in the crate for a whole hour or hour and a half when you're gone grocery shopping. Right. And that's what we want. But if you do wait a little too long with your walking out of the room and she starts to fuss, then unfortunately, you know, make a little mental note of how long it was and make a mental note of, okay, that was a minute and a half. Oops. Okay. That was too long. So we're going to take a step back our next sessions and make it shorter. But if you've engage the time wrong and they start to fuss, then unfortunately you need to wait for them to settle down, because we never want to let them out of the crate when they are whining and crying, because that will of course teach them a bad lesson. Okay. Right?
Yep. And when they, how long do they have to be quiet? Because I know sometimes it's like 3 seconds. So
initially it might be just 3 seconds.
Okay.
That's okay. It depends. Yeah. If that's her duration for right now, that's where you start off with. Okay. And that's okay.
Okay.
So train the dog you have.
Right.
For different puppies, it might be your first attempts. Hey, it might be 15 seconds.
Right.
Okay. And for other puppies, it might be, you know, max of 3. I've even had one dog that a rescue dog that I fostered that my first attempts, literally, and this dog had bad separation anxiety because, I mean, he'd been in it like every single day. He was just left in a crate for like 10 hours. Yeah. And so he had big time crate issues and separation anxiety issues. And so I couldn't even leave the room our first attempts. I had to make it so easy for him that the out of sight, our initial steps, was just that I stood in the room, but I turned my back to him. Just so that he didn't have eye contact. Poor puppy. But that was the first steps for him. So I had to break it down and make it the right level for him. And he needed it that easy.
Fair enough. Thank you very much. This is great.
Good. Good, good. And I will try to, the video I have on that of Facebook, I'll try and find that and tag you.
And I don't have Facebook. So,
oh, that's right.
If you are able to, that's great. Otherwise, we'll just keep going because she's doing pretty well with it. It's just, little steps at a time.
Yep. And that is kind of a separate component and a separate challenge in our crate training. And it's a very specific one. And that's fine. I'm not going to, I was just thinking of trying to remember what that video looks like. I think my explanation is probably better than the video because where I had the tripod set up, you couldn't really tell I was leaving the room. So.
Sounds good. Thanks again.
All right. What else is going on?
Hello. This is George. Hi, I'm sorry. Of course, as we all are distracted by whatever our dogs are doing in the background. But yes, I wanted to thank you for I did end up putting chicken wire around the garden in the backyard. And that kind of did solve that problem. Probably not to Chester's liking, but he kind of still walks the perimeter of the fence, kind of trying to get the leaves beyond it. But it is saving the plants. And maybe, as you said, maybe by the time, as he gets older, maybe he won't care as much about destroying everything. But so thank you for that. And then working on the leash situation is the tough part right now. he just lunges like crazy. And I'm wondering, I've watched a few of the videos and sometimes the dogs seem a little further along than Chester is at the moment, that they already kind of get it. I'm wondering whether I should be if I'm making a mistake in the leash in that, we have them on a nylon tag line, to practice with that in the house. So he's used to that. Then we go outside, I hold on to it while he goes potty and then let him go still with that tag line on to run around the backyard. And then that is still the leash that we use to take him out in the front yard. Which is not fenced in. So I'm wondering whether I should I maybe change? I have a heavier leash that I'm saving for, when we actually go on walks as he gets older, but I don't know whether I should switch to that at the point that we go to the front yard, just to give him an idea that something's different now. I don't know. Does that make sense?
It does. And it seems a little bit subtle, but do know the difference. And when you are actively working on leash manners, I definitely would not be doing that with a tagline.
Okay.
Go ahead and put like a regular leash on him because the weight is going to be a little bit different.
Right.
It's going to be heavier. Taglines are light on purpose. Right. And dogs, it's so subtle to us. I mean, it's a matter of ounces, right? The weight difference between a tagline and a leash, but dogs completely get the difference between different uniforms.
Right. Okay.
And so when you are actively working on leash manners, I would switch that.
Okay. Definitely. Great.
Because even for my dogs, when we're working on obedience, they have, they will wear a metal choke chain. Not that I'm doing jerk and tug corrections.
Right.
And for confirmation, they have like a thin little jewel metal choke collar. So it's got really, really tiny links. And then for agility, they're wearing a flat buckle collar. Do they get the difference between my body language and those collars for what we're working on? Absolutely.
Okay.
They definitely do. And what particularly are there, is it kind of everything that Chester is kind of lunging at, or are there particular triggers for him?
You know, he just goes a little nuts. He loves blowing leaves, chasing those. You know, he lurches toward the trees, toward the, I mean, kind of everything. And I can't quite predict any walking people, any walking dogs, any cars, any, so it's kind of everything. It's a very exciting world. And I have got him where, you know, if I stop and squat myself, he will stop sometimes, and he's kind of getting that nothing's gonna happen, so he'll turn around, and when he comes back to me, as some of the videos said, you know, try to give him praise and treat and all that, but he doesn't quite get, you know, that he could go slower, you know, he's still going back to the lunging the moment the leash is relaxed, you know. And then he just gets more and more annoyed with me, and I get annoyed, and, you know, it's just not a good cycle, to the point where I almost wondered, should I even be taking him out front? You know, is he only learning bad things? You know what I mean? I don't know. I mean, I know he wants to see the world, but, but it's just a little much. Yeah.
I actually agree with you.
Yeah.
So a couple of things from what you said, that when he's starting to, you know, lunge and pull on the leash because he's just so excited about the world,
mm-hmm.
that you squat down. I love that.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that is very helpful for getting our dog's attention. That mm-hmm. kind of is another little trick, just like when we whisper.
Right, right.
Squatting down, or worse yet, like, like if you try and work out around your dogs and you get down on the floor, uh-huh. oh boy, you know, they're right there.
Right,
like
squatting right.
down is going to help get their attention. So that's a great strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But I do agree with you that initially, in a way, leash walks outside are kind of overrated, because mm-hmm. a lot of people will think that that's their only outlet for exercising their puppies, and all they're doing is teaching bad leash manners.
Right.
Because they're not ready for it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So there are plenty of other things that you can do with socialization that don't involve potentially bad leash manners.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah. Because he can run around as much as he wants back here. I think he just doesn't get the difference between, you know, why can I run around in the backyard? And then why can't I do it in the front? You know, why are you holding me back? What, you know, I think he's just confused by that, which I hope the heavier leash will maybe help, you know, create it. Oh, this is new. Like this. Oh, this is how it's done, you know, kind of thing. So hopefully, I don't know. That's probably my biggest frustration right now. He's coming along with the house training. You know, he still screws up every now and then, but, you know. What are you going to do? And it's starting to signal. He rang the bell a couple times. He barks. He hasn't settled on one one signal yet. He barks. He'll stare at the door kind of creepily. And I don't know. Or whine. But yeah, he hasn't. He's a man of many colors and moods. But
And that's normal. He's figuring out how he wants to communicate. And part of that's going to be our reaction too, because he's watching, you know, of like, which gets me the fastest response.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So just keep working on that. But I think definitely if you get more consistent about walks is a different leash. That's not the tagline.
Right. Right.
And the other thing that would probably help him is to actually use a release word. So when you've taken him out to potty, and he's on a leash,
right?
And he's done his business,
mm-hmm.
and you've said, "Good boy, Chester, mm-hmm. excellent potty, good boy." Mm-hmm. And then he's earned some freedom, so then he can go and snuffle around and play in the leash. Give him a release word,
okay?
Because that's kind of your permission of. Kind of at ease, soldier.
Right, right.
So people will use okay or break or mm-hmm. free. Those are tend to be kind of the most common release words. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be their permission for kind of anything. Mm-hmm. The end of a stay mm-hmm. or the end of a wait, as in crossing a threshold or coming out of the crate.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So that is their permission word for at ease. You're on mm-hmm. your own time.
Right.
You can do what you want now for a lot of different situations.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's great, because I think sometimes he doesn't quite get that I've let go of the leash, you know, after he goes potty, like, mm-hmm. and then he just kind of discovers it and is like, oh, okay, you know. So I think, yeah, having something to, that's kind of what I'm feeling like I, with all this, that I just kind of need clear segments for
Completely agree.
Okay. Should I even take off the tagline in the backyard, or?
I would. Okay.
Like when it's time for him to run.
Yes. Of mm-hmm. like, you are off duty. Go yeah. for it, buddy. The mm-hmm. only time that I would kind of be supervising and put it back on is yeah. if he starts going back over to that chicken wire and your garden.
Right.
And he starts to fuss. Then yeah. I will calmly walk over, put his tagline back on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is also going to be a clear indication of him to him of, we don't like this, buddy. Mm-hmm. So you need to be dragging your tagline so that I can give you a correction.
You're right, at any time. Yeah, step in, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So don't forget to be practicing your leash manners in the house. I know that sounds ridiculous, but around the dining room table, the kitchen mm-hmm. island, down hallways. I love hallways
practicing
leash manners.
Right. Okay.
And because he is apparently so fascinated with leaves.
Yes.
Hey, maybe get, you know, if some have all blown into your little garden space, mm-hmm. when you're going to have a little play session, he's potted and he's earned some freedom, mm-hmm. get some leaves out of that garden section or whatever and make a little pile for him.
Right.
Wrestle him around with your hands.
Yeah, yeah. No, he loves that. Back when we had more leaves, they've kind of been cleaned up. But yeah, I would throw him up in the air and he would go nuts. I mean...
Yep.
Yeah.
Free toys are often the best toys.
Right. Right. Could that leaf even be like help with him walking by my side? Maybe. I don't know if I use that as a reward of some weird kind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I know that sounds ridiculous, but you know we need to pay attention to what our dogs have high value in.
Right, right.
For him, if it's a leaf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's nothing better.
Yeah, absolutely. Just because some dogs aren't terribly treat motivated either. They'd much rather mm-hmm. have an ear rub mm-hmm. and some loving, some physical affection. Some dogs, you know, they would much rather play tug than even get a piece of Braunschweiger.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So we need to pay attention to what our dogs are motivated to work for and use that to our advantage.
Great, great. And thank you also last time you suggested a tug toy outside and that's working out very well. He loves that. And it gives him some good exercise and it feels like something we can do together that we can both enjoy, that he's not going
good. Bold.
Great.
Excellent.
Thank you. I'm going to stop talking and move that I'll speak. But thank you.
Oh, those were great questions, George.
Thank you.
All right. What else is going on, guys? Everybody's going to be shy now. No other questions?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Joan Halgren here from Minnesota. And we just had tornadoes last night in Minnesota, which was...
Me too.
Okay, where do you live? You live in Minnesota too?
No. I'm in Kansas City, but that storm went all the way from Kansas to Minnesota. And
Right. So it's a pretty wild night, but I, you know, I kind of got in late in the session today, but what happened with me is I have a 12-week-old soft coated Wheaton Terrier puppy and female, wonderful, fantastic breeder. But what happened is I kind of started off on the wrong foot because I came home and did set up a playpen and did the soft disposable pads and then did this doggy litter box because she had had that. And I just kind of, I've always raised dogs without that, just crate training. So now I'm kind of trying to start all over again. And so it's been kind of, I don't know, frustrating. But what happened, what I'm noticing with this puppy, and it must be because of her age being young, not being consistent with, okay, I'll take her outside. She will urinate and do feces. Then I'll bring her in and think, oh, great, everything's fine. Then I'll turn around and she'll have feces again. So it's like hard to predict. Also, when she eats, I'll say, okay, well, 15 minutes, I should take her out or put her in her crate for 15 minutes. Sometimes that doesn't work. I mean, it's just like she'll all of a sudden I'll just turn around, she's going. So, or has gone. So I don't, what do you think?
Okay. So are you feeding her at structured times during the day, or is she just kind of grazing and free feeding?
No, I'm doing structured times because I have what the breeder was doing. It was like 8:30, 2:30, 6:30.
Okay, so good.
She's not getting, she's starting to act more like she's wanting more food. And I think, I don't know if that's so good.
Well, you know, it's amazing how much growing puppies can eat. Okay. So your indication to keep track there is just going to be your eyes and your hands.
Okay.
Hands on her. So we always want to be able to feel kind of the last two ribs, but not feel the spine. So when they're standing up, if you put your hands on them,
okay,
right, it's going to be kind of, especially since with a Wheaton Terrier, there's fur, so you're not going to be able to see as easily. So you use your hands. People will even kind of use the analogy of how you check for doneness on a steak. So if you run your hands over the knuckles, too thin, you know, as far as feeling ribs, we don't want to feel that. Okay. And then if you are kind of between the pad of the thumb, if it feels like that, that's a good weight. But if it feels like the heel of your hand, kind of a little pudgy. So, so just gauge on appropriate amounts of food for her based on your hands and your eyes.
Okay.
And good that you are doing structured times for feeding for a variety of reasons, but especially for house training, that kind of will help get them a little bit more predictable as far as when they need to poop. She might be one of those puppies that, partly personality and partly just learning curve of learning to be efficient when we are outside. So when you get your potty break, that you do all your business then. But right, there are also, there are also dogs, some dogs that are, for lack of a better phrase, they're poop walkers, right? And so they don't just squat and do all their defecation in one session. And in one spot, they will poop a little, walk, 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 poop a little. So she might be one of those. So I would say if you can allow her a little bit more time outside. And the other portion would be kind of going back to those potty training rules of because you know that she's not kind of predictable with the pooping, that once she's pottied outside, you're going to praise and treat out there. But then when you bring her back inside, since you know she might not actually be done pooping, I wouldn't allow her a lot of freedom. I would be planning to put her back in the X pen or to be completely
created.
100%, yeah, and 100% supervising. Mm-hmm. So the second you start to see her starting to sniff, that you scoop her up and you go back outside. So is this, and my other question for you is this mostly pooping or is it peeing as well?
It can be both. I mean, she just seems like she hasn't gotten into the rhythm of it all yet. And it's probably partly my fault, but you know, it's just kind of like, whoa, you know, switching from getting rid of the pee pads to getting rid of the doggy litter box. I mean, she's gone through this cycle. And then because it's winter here, mm-hmm. going outside in the backyard was dangerous because I have to go on a deck. Then I have to go down steps. Oh. Then I switched, yeah, right. So I switched her to going out the front yard, which was like just one step down mm-hmm. where it's safer. So so she's had gone through these changes. So I don't know. I just
I think you're on the right track, that it's just you've, and that happens, you know, life happens where you've had to kind of change your strategies. And I think that you know, kind of these adaptations mm-hmm. in her mind has kind of maybe gotten her a little bit confused.
Right. That's what I'm thinking.
So the more you can make that the same routine,
okay.
I think that will help send her clearer messages and a clearer picture of what we do, what the rules are, what the expectations are, what you get benefit and rewards and freedom for.
Okay, and it might also be like her emotional personality, because at night, I mean, she was easy to crate train through the whole night. I mean, even maybe 10 minutes of crying when she was first came brought home at 8 weeks. And now, I mean, you know, she can be in that crate for 8 hours without a problem. So it's during the daytime that she gets erratic and it's partly my fault, I guess, because I'm switching her from the backyard to the front yard, whatever, depending on what the weather is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But don't blame yourself, because, hey, that happens, you know, life happens and we have to adapt. And, you know, especially in the winter, you don't want to be going down icy deck stairs,
right?
A whole flight of deck stairs. So that was a necessary adaptation. So don't blame yourself. But now that you figured out a better system for you that's safer, now just try to get that more, you know, stable, and that it's okay. The same picture to her every single time. And I think that will, the more routine and habitual that gets, it's going to help all these other things. So give her a little bit more time to poop if she is a poop walker when you have her outside. And then even if she's pooped outside, when you bring her back in, I kind of don't want to have you put her back in a crate or an X pen, because she did technically do her job outside.
Right. Okay.
But we're just not sure if she did all of it. So when you bring her back inside, maybe the reward is then she has a little
freedom.
I would say actually some playtime with you.
Okay.
Playtime or a little bit of training time with you, because that way you're engaged with her. And that means you're also 100% supervising her, so that if she starts to show any little indications of, oops, I still need to poop some more, that you're going to notice it and be able to get her back outside. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Otherwise, things seem to be going pretty well for a 12-week-old puppy. So I don't know if the other people on the call here are their puppies that are older or about the same age or whatever. But one thing I'm concerned about, though, is like I have this backyard that's fenced in. I heard somebody talking about there, the chicken wire. It's one place that might not be too stable. I haven't let her run free in the backyard because I just think that could be... I don't know. What do you think?
If you've got a fenced backyard, let her go for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Test it out. Okay.
Yeah.
Keeping a little leash on her, though. I don't want her to, I'm afraid to let go of the leash and let her just run around wild. I don't know.
Why?
I don't know. Okay. I guess I'll give it a try.
Yeah, if you've got a safely fenced backyard, okay. Yeah, she need better go. Let her explore and learn how to be independent and burn off some puppy energy. And if you are terribly worried about just her being small in size, due to her age, then you can be outside with her and just be engaging. Or like George was talking about with Chester, of that you can be out there playing with her. Throw a ball, play a tug toy. She's off leash, which is a huge benefit for her, you know, physically, emotionally, mentally. But you're still there supervising, and just your presence is going to be a safety factor. And, you know, if you're worried about, I don't know, you know, any stray dogs or predators or things like that, your presence is going to be a safety issue. Okay.
I might want to do that now, because when we a few weeks ago, we had like 9 inches of snow. So that would have been a little tempting to, I don't know, a little challenge.
So puppies love snow.
Yeah. Well, yeah. She loved the snow recently, but I'd have to chase her all over the yard and go through the snow.
Okay. Let her go play in the snow. Let her go snuffle, you know, because even to the point of reminder that there, it's in a really odd spot in the website, in the modules. It's under like fitness. But one of the things that we encourage people to do with their puppies is called adventure walks.
Okay.
And that is actually, you have the puppy, you go for a hike and you have the puppy off leash.
Okay.
And so the whole goal there is we are, we've got this window of opportunity that's usually, you know, before a puppy is 16 weeks of age, where we've got this window where they're still very in tune and dependent on us. And we're tapping into that so that we take them on adventure walks, and we actually kind of intentionally will hide, so that puppy all of a sudden is like, oh my gosh, where'd my people go? Uh-huh. And they come back and they find you. If you can tap into that now, before 16 weeks of age, when we've got this window of opportunity, those puppies learn that it's actually their responsibility to keep track of their people, instead of people and owners constantly watching where their dogs are and calling them back.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good point. Good point.
Yeah.
Also, so tomorrow I have the first vet visit. So I don't know if you have any ideas on that or comments on that for first vet visits.
Absolutely. So hold on 1 second. Yeah. I'm writing. Okay. So.
And the dog's name is Dilly.
Dilly. Cute.
D-I-L-Y.
Okay, so for first vet visit, hold on 1 second. I'm quick writing my notes about what we talked about. Okay, so because she is not fully vaccinated yet, if you can, when I take young dogs to the vet, I will pick them up. They don't walk through the lobby.
Okay.
Okay, so that the only time they get their feet down is like on the exam table. That's going to help keep them safe from, you know, bacteria and viruses that, who knows, the other dogs that are coming to that clinic, right? They don't clean the lobby between dogs. They don't clean the waiting room. They do clean the exam rooms. Mm-hmm. So I would be carrying her in and then and holding her until you get into your exam room. Then you can pop her on that table. That's been cleaned. Okay. And make sure that you bring lots of treats. With baby puppies, my favorite thing to bring to vet appointments is squeeze cheese. A lot of vets will actually have this in exam rooms because it is kind of a hygienic way to give dogs treats, because you're just pressing on the nozzle. You're not getting a lot of dog spit on your hands that might be transmitted to other dogs. But it's easy for you to be giving treats, and it's easy for you to just put the squeeze cheese on the exam table and be encouraging the vet techs or the vet, you know, please treat, give my puppy treats.
Okay.
So that you are making it into a positive experience.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
And the other thing is, I'm trying to remember if this is in the resources, there is a form that we made. It's on the Avidog site. I'm not sure if it got transferred over to the Good Dog website yet. I don't think it did. I will see if maybe I can post that on the Facebook page, but we had like a Word document that you can print off and take to the vet with you. Excuse me. And that is going to be helpful for you to do record keeping. Because when you're looking through vet receipts, it's really hard to keep track and remember where you're at in your vaccine schedules and things like that. It's also going to be a quick and dirty way for to communicate with your vet and your vet techs, as far as, you know, having in your mind your schedule of vaccines and what you want to happen during a visit. Some vets are very concerned that we come in for an appointment and they might not see us again for a year. And so then they try to schedule everything into one vet visit. And that's like as far as tons of vaccines all in one appointment.
Right. Yeah. No,
that's not good for immune systems. We need to space those things out. So this form is great because it will also help clearly communicate of today's vet visit. We are doing, you know, DHPP vaccine only. Mm-hmm. We're not doing lepto. We're not doing rabies. In addition, today, this is what we're doing and that's it. Mm-hmm. So that's a helpful way to communicate your wishes and scheduling. And the other tip I have regarding vet visits is you've got this appointment tomorrow. So you're going to bring your treats, going to bring squeeze cheese. You're going to carry her in. The other thing that I would suggest is after tomorrow's appointment, you're going to go back to the vet. You're not going to have an appointment, but you're just going to go. Number one, it's going to be a social outing of car trip. Yay. Training for car rides. And then you're going to go to the vet again with a bag of treats or with squeeze cheese and go, don't go on a Saturday morning when of course vets are crazy busy, but go kind of during an off time during the middle of the day. And you're just going to take puppy in, maybe put them on the scale that's in the lobby or just take them in, carry them and just say, we're just socializing. Mm-hmm. And okay. Have receptionists feed puppy treats, do some loving, maybe they're holding them and ooing and petting, and then you leave. That's it. So there's no exam, there's no shots, there's nothing scary. It's just people feeding me treats and loving on me. So that's a good thing to kind of fit in as well, so that puppies will still kind of continue to have a positive association with vet visits. Right? Because otherwise, most of the time when we go to the vet, it's not always so pleasant for them.
Right. So it's like us avoiding doctor's offices. But this vet also has an app so that I think tracks maybe medications or whatever. I'm going to have to investigate that more and see if I really want to do that. But, and I also, I'm sorry, unfortunately, I'm not a Facebook user. Like your other somebody else on the call. So trying to get your form on the vet visit is
I will be completely honest that I'm not a Facebook person either.
Okay.
But I have a Facebook account because I have literally 5 pages that are private groups. And that's all that I go on Facebook for.
Right. Okay.
And you can set your settings to be really private and safe. And you don't have to friend anybody. If you don't friend anybody, you're not going to get a bunch of garbage. So I don't ever go into the feed. And yeah, Caroline just said she's not on Facebook either, except for, you know, puppy program stuff.
Okay.
So yeah, literally I have 5 pages that are private groups and that's all I go on Facebook for. Okay. So
maybe I'll consider that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause there's a lot of negative garbage out there that I don't.
Right.
Absolutely. But you know, on the flip side, Facebook is sure easy to post videos and, and, you know, pictures and to quick share information that is helpful. Yeah. So George too. George says, yeah, good dog forced me to be back on Facebook. Yeah.
And I suppose some people even use Instagram. So, I mean, they're both kind of the same problematic era. I don't know.
So,
thanks for all your help. I didn't want to occupy the conversation.
No, those were good questions. I'm going to quick write my notes. Okay. All right, what else is going on, guys?
Sarah, just real quick, I'm assuming that's not easy cheese. What is it, yes, like specifically? Oh, it is? Oh, so it you can get it at the grocery store?
Yep, right in the cracker aisle. Yeah. Okay,
perfect. I just wanted to make sure, because I know there's things that are like, oh, well, you should give it for your dogs, but the Kong ones or whatever that cost $17 more.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, the Kong, I mean, they have Kong brand has cheese in a can and peanut butter in a can, which, yeah, they're ridiculous. It's like $10 a can when, you know, I'm like, okay, nutritionally, you know, and this is the grocery store generic brand. Nutritionally, is this a good idea? No, but are French fries a good idea for us? No, but do we have them in moderation as a treat? Yeah, same thing.
Great, thank you.
and it's pretty hilarious, like especially in the summer when I have baby puppies and we're working on socialization and it's hot. I don't, you know, if I don't want to have a fanny pack of treats on me. And even if you do, you know, the cheese melts in your pocket or in the fanny pack and the hot dogs are disgusting. So in the summer when I'm outside training, I bring this. And you don't get gross pockets and greasy hands. And people's reaction is pretty hilarious. Uh-huh. They're like, is that squeeze cheese? Yeah. Okay, what else is going on, guys?
I was wondering, Chester's got his first puppy socialization class this weekend. I don't know if you have any tips similar to the vet there of, you know, any do's and don'ts. I don't even know how many other dogs are at this thing. We're going to find out.
Well, yay, I'm so excited for you guys because the value of a good group puppy class is invaluable. Right. And so hopefully they will be doing some off leash puppy play time at the end of class. And hopefully they have a good ratio of instructors to the amount of puppies. Because you definitely want to have a lot of people to make sure that all the play is appropriate. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because group puppy class dynamics have changed because of COVID considerations. Mm-hmm. And so, whereas before during the off-leash playtime, the owners would kind of be milling around and interacting with all the puppies. And, you know, the last puppy class I went to with this little monkey, you know, it was, nope, you sit in your chair.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
And the instructors did everything. So I would say that as far as just planning ahead, that you bring a normal leash, that's your tagline.
Mm-hmm.
So flat buckle collar, leash, Maybe bring a little Tupperware bowl or a travel dog bowl with a little bottle of water so that you have your own puppy has its private hygienic options for water versus a community bowl during the class. And also in your training bag, you're going to have poop bags with you and you are going to have Tupperware, a sandwich bag full of a variety of treats.
Okay.
And cut them up. Again, reminder that when we are kind of prepping our treats for training sessions, they are small. Treats are like the size of a pencil eraser or a pea.
Okay.
So, and make a variety of treats because classes are so stimulating and so exciting that, you know, if you only bring chicken, the first five treats of chicken are going to be like, oh boy.
Yeah.
But then maybe by the sixth, they're like, nah, bored with this already.
Not worth it. Right.
So have a variety in your treat bag and also bring some favorite toys. Okay. So again, going back to using what motivates your puppy. So you might find that, okay, chicken was working at the beginning of class and then the hot dogs were working and now we're at the end of the class and now we don't want any treats. So then that might be the time where you're like, hey, it's your favorite tug toy, right? To get attention. And then other than that, you know, any vaccine records, if you need to bring that for, for proof of that. And most puppy classes are really good about having time kind of set and structured into the class for potty breaks. But don't feel shy about politely ducking out. For potty breaks, if you're seeing any little indications. And I will even, even with my adult dogs, if I notice that they're just kind of getting, I don't know, overwhelmed or they're kind of done and they just need a break. So you're watching and you can start to see that. Go ahead and duck out. Even if they don't need to potty, give them a break. So
yeah, it's going to be a lot, I'm sure.
So, but it'll be great because so you plan at your afternoon after this class of like, I'm going to have like 2-3 hours where Chester's going to be just crashed. So you can get a lot of stuff done.
Okay. Good. Good idea. Some wrapping of presents maybe.
So plan ahead.
Great. Thank you.
I'm excited for you guys.
Yeah, he's got a big weekend. He's got vet, first groomer, and then first puppy class. So each on a separate day, thank God. But
good. That's good scheduling. So excellent. Okay, I'm quick writing some notes. What else, guys? Anything?
I have an extension on what I asked before. So what we're dealing with now is Vespa's in her little X pen, which is attached to the crate. She just laid down in the crate. So we did a little training while I was not on camera. So we got, you know, a little more socialized with the crate. She sleeps in it every night just fine and is fine with it, but getting used to it. But so what happens is I'm sitting towards, you know, I can, she's to my side. If I sit to my, with her to my back, we really have a lot less complaining and whining. When I'm sitting this way, she can see me more and tries to get my eye attention. She barks, whines and everything. I have my squirt bottle. So I, you know, either threaten her with the squirt, you know, she sees it now and she knows what it is. But she continues to do it. So I squirt her a little. Should I, like, what's the amount of squirting that I should be doing before she does eventually lay down, but you know, I squirt her 4 or 5 times. Then she kind of is like, okay, fine. I got enough water on me. I'm, I'm done with this. But she still like lays down and whines or barks. So I guess any ideas or tricks for, I guess maybe do I need to do a better job of ignoring her and just not giving her any?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in that circumstance, I would just do some ignoring. And that will extinguish the behavior, because if dogs do something and it's not working for them, i.e. they're not getting what they want, the behavior will decrease. So, and with any redirection, whether it's tagline, whether it's, you know, a verbal redirect or clapping your hands just to interrupt or the squirt bottle, if you are doing that like 4 or 5 times, it's not working. So then I would stop with that. And then you have to pick a different strategy.
Okay, fair enough. We'll start with the ignoring, and then we'll only use a squirt bottle once or twice if needed. But that's when I'm looking at her also. Like if I've tried to squirt her when I'm not looking, which is good because then she doesn't get my eye contact.
Uh-huh.
And then the squirt happens too. So that's sort of a couple, a coupled situation. But again, it usually dies down pretty quick. It's just, I guess we'll start with the ignoring and then we'll see if we need to squirt once or twice and then recognize if those things aren't working, something else is different. And if I notice that she's doing something, then I'm like, okay, you've been doing this a little persistently. We better go outside.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that sounds great, Emily, because then you're going through your little mental checklist of, you know, are our needs met?
Right.
So am I listening to you? And you might be fussing for a reason. And, you know, for example, going back to redirections. So if I squirt once and we do get quiet, or we quit harassing an older dog or et cetera, for like 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, that has worked.
Right.
Do I need to repeat it after a couple minutes? Probably, because they're still learning it. But if you are doing, you know, like whine, squirt, whine, squirt. If it's that kind of pattern, that quickly in succession and repetition, okay, then that strategy is not working.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. That's my biggest thing is I don't know how persistent. I know I need to be more persistent with certain things, but I don't know where to draw the line in terms of where I stop and do something different versus let her win or, you know, like I'm using air quotes win. But you know, like how persistent I have to be. So this is really good. Good information. Yeah. Thank you again.
Absolutely. And I have a question for you too, Emily. So she tends to be, if I'm understanding this right, she tends to be a little bit noisier when she can make eye contact with you.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. So because she tries to catch my eye. So if I have my back to her and am facing out, but for meetings, for work, behind me is where I need to have, you know, the background set up. Whereas if I'm in the other chair, it's the kitchen and, you know, for professional things, it's just not quite as nice. Nothing. I like your kitchen, George. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, for work calls, I just have a wall versus an open space. And so if I give her my back, she's, you know, will bark a lot less and then complain a lot less, mostly because she has the back of my hand. As opposed to the side peripheral view, she's like, hey, I see your eyeballs.
And okay, so that is really interesting. And what that's clearly telling you is that that's demand barking.
Right.
Because she's like, I have a chance to get her attention, right?
Absolutely.
Versus not really a need, because when your back's to her, she's like, okay, I'll settle. So,
right.
Okay, that is, we already knew this about your little girl, that she is persistent.
Yes.
And that she is a little bit demanding.
Yes.
Which can be great, but that is good knowledge for you in how you tackle things and train with her. And so, okay, you know that eye contact is going to be kind of a trigger to set her off. So now plan and use that to your advantage and her advantage to set her up for success. Okay.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So, you know, consciously be turning away giving her your back.
Okay.
So that you're setting her up for success to be quiet.
Right. Okay, great. Thank you.
That's really interesting because it's usually the opposite of, oh my God, my people are gone.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the other thing is I leave the room and then it's all heck breaks loose. But yeah, she definitely likes to be able to see my face and eyeballs. And, you know, it's just easier to ignore if she has my back. I guess that's the other thing is I need to be better at ignoring her when she can see my eyes. So
It's a funny construct to think that we consciously have to, you know, make an effort to ignore.
Right. Right.
But we do. In some cases, it's a training strategy.
Yep. I will be doing that training myself.
Good job.
Thank you.
Okay, guys. It's just you two. And we've had a nice long call. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Well, if you've got any questions or concerns in the meantime, Facebook page, or always feel free to email me. And happy holidays to you both.
Great. Yeah, happy holidays, everybody.
Catch you the week after Christmas.
All right.
Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks.